Committee, the Subcommittee on the Promotion and Protection of Human Rights. It was called something else at that time, but basically, that was it. The Subcommittee, there's the Commission on Human Rights, the Subcommittee, which is a bunch of human rights experts, and then they make different working groups, and one of them was on indigenous populations. There were five of them, one from each region of the world, Africa, Asia, Latin America, Western Europe, and other countries, including Canada, United States, Australia, New Zealand, and Eastern Europe, meaning at that time the Soviet bloc. So one person from each of those five regions were made up this working group. And this working group then, when they had their meetings, when indigenous people attended, the thing that they told them to do is that we want our rights protected and recognized and protected, and we want them to do a declaration on the rights of indigenous people. So in 1982, that's when the process basically started. More earnestly, it started more likely in 1984, when they started drafting text on the declaration. So that's basically the beginnings of that. I got involved in 1987, and in 1987, I think there was only 12 articles that were at that time. And then by the time I finished that meeting, it was 18 articles. And then in 88, they added more articles. In 89, 90. In 1990, 91, 92, 93, the working group was 1 week long. And for those 4 years, from 90 to 93, the working group went to 2 weeks. One solid week on drafting the declaration, and another week on doing other issues that the working group worked on. Finally, and you have to remember the atmosphere that we were in at that time. Experts, human rights experts, and states and stuff like that are saying things that indigenous people don't have a right to self-determination. Saying that this declaration will never see the light of day. It'll never go anywhere. The states are not going to allow indigenous people to have their rights recognized because of many states are on indigenous land. You know, they're just not. Not going to do it. And also, a lot of human rights experts said that we don't have a right to self-determination, that we're not peoples, that we're not equal to all other peoples. Mm-hmm. You'll notice the title of the working group is called the Working Group on Indigenous Populations. And that's because governments did not want to call us peoples, because peoples have rights. All peoples have a right to self-determination. It's international law. Mm-hmm. So they call us indigenous populations, because populations don't have rights. A flock of ducks is a population. It doesn't have rights. You know. So, a population does not have rights. So that's why the governments use that term populations, and that's why they like to use terms like groups. They like to use the terms or individuals, collectives, or communities, but they avoid at all costs using the term peoples, because peoples have implies rights. And even so, the S was a big fight. In the World Conference on Human Rights in Vienna in 1993, 94, I can't remember, they wouldn't use the term, put the S on the term peoples. They called us indigenous people, like one people. All indigenous people are just one people, whether you're an Inuit or you're a Sami or you're a Maori or you're a Mohawk. You know, we're all the same people. That's it. The United Nations has 2 decades on the world's indigenous people. Even today, the second decade of the world's indigenous, UN calls it the second decade of the world's indigenous people, no S, because that's how much resistance states have against the rights of indigenous peoples. So it hasn't disappeared, and we'll get on to more about that. WGD, this is the working group on the draft declaration, and that's the shorthand form. It fits right into a segue into that, because the official title of this working group is the Working Group on Resolution 9532, because the states did not want to call it the Working Group on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, because they wanted to avoid the word peoples, so they gave it a number. So the pet name was Working Group on a Draft Declaration. When the Working Group on Indigenous Populations finished drafting the text in 1993, the year of Indigenous people. By the way, we wanted 1992 to be the year of Indigenous people, but, you know, Christopher Columbus and all that. But Spain objected because Spain was celebrating Christopher Columbus, and they didn't want to conflict the celebration of that with Indigenous people. So as a consolation, we got 1993 as the year of Indigenous people. So in 1993, they felt it would have been a good year to pass the Declaration, and we did. And the last article that was agreed to in the Declaration was Article 3, which said Indigenous people have the right to self-determination. And that was the principal point and fundamental point of the Declaration. 1993, in 1994, it went up to its superior body, the subcommission. The subcommission passed it without any changes. And then it went to the Commission on Human Rights. Now, the Commission on Human Rights is different from the two other bodies. The other bodies are human rights experts. The Commission is politicians. It's politicians, it's people. So the Commission on Human Rights is made up of ambassadors. It's a political body. And it's not about human rights, it's about politics. So the Commission the states did not like the Declaration on the Rights the draft Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. So they created their own working group, the Working Group on the Draft Declaration. And their role was, and if I remember correctly, the terminology is, it says, to elaborate a Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. It did not say to study the Declaration that was written by the subcommission and the working group, but to elaborate. In other words, it even said that it would write its own declaration. That's how much states didn't like this declaration. However, in the negotiations to start the meeting, we agreed that the working group, the draft declaration that came up from the subcommission and the working group on Indigenous populations would be the basis of discussion. So we won that. At the commission level, I have to explain to another point about the Working Group on Indigenous Populations is that there are only three kinds of people that can attend a meeting at the UN. You have to be a state, a member state, a UN agency, or an NGO, a non-governmental organization. Many Indigenous people refuse to register in the UN as a non-government because we're governments. You know, Indigenous people are governments, so we refuse to do that. The Working Group on Indigenous Populations was the first body in the UN in 1982 to have an open-door policy on allowing people, anybody, to attend a meeting. Indigenous person, professors, you know, lawyers, organizations, anything. You didn't have to be a registered NGO in the UN. So it was the only body like that in the UN from 1982 to 1995. Then when this working group was created, then they also made those same rules for this working group. This was the second body in the UN that had an open door policy, which is groundbreaking in the UN, limited as it was. However, in the meeting of the working group on the draft declaration, you're at the commission level and you have government representatives now in the room, and they're the power and they have all the say, and we have nothing in there. It was an awful situation where states could control the floor, the states could speak, and NGOs were Indigenous people. We sat in the back of the room, and when we raised our hands to speak, we weren't being recognized. And the chairman would only listen to what the states did. Once in a while, he would let us speak, but we were talking about our rights, you know, our stuff and this, and it was unacceptable that this kind of we couldn't accept this kind of behavior. So in the second year, in 1996, we walked out of the room. 99% of the Indigenous people walked out and said that this is intolerable. You know, the resolution says that that Indigenous people, states, and Indigenous representatives will elaborate this declaration. And if we can't take part, if we can't speak, then there's no reason for us to be in the room. So we walked out, therefore jeopardizing the whole working group. After 3 or 4 days or a week of frantic negotiations, and I was right in the middle of it because I was chairing the Indigenous caucus, and a lot of pressure put on both sides to get us back into the room. We were pressuring states were pressuring us. Phone calls between Geneva and New York, the legal department, getting all kinds of advice for looking, different solutions like an Indigenous co-chair, like different things. Anyway, a solution was found where the chairman said that there's two levels of the meeting. There's the formal meeting and the informal meeting. In the formal meeting, only states can speak. So in the negotiating sessions, it will be an informal meeting. Anybody can speak. And very importantly, indigenous representatives will be part of the consensus. In the United Nations, when you're dealing about declarations and conventions, the decisions, the articles have to be by consensus. Everybody has to agree. All the states have to agree. So now we were part of the consensus. And that's the only working group that's ever been like that, and only one that's ever been there since. So indigenous people were part. So that, we accomplished that with that walkout. So we walked back in, and then we were able to take part. So that was a critical victory. The second part is that states really wanted to gut the declarations, and we wouldn't let that happen. So we had to stop any discussion about word changes, and because states wanted to change the text. So we, and they were very hostile to self-determination and stuff like that. So what we did, we had a strategy of no changes. We'll engage states, we'll go to the meetings, but we're not going to tolerate any changes to the text. And that was also very effective. And so we were able to stop changes to the text for 8 years. From 1995 to 2003, we were able to hold them off. But one of the reasons why, another reason we were allowed to do that, the states were divided. The Indigenous Caucus was solid, you know, like a rock. We were not going to allow changes. States were scattered. There's 191 countries and 191 opinions. But and in that room, there's only about 40 or 50 states in the room. But they were not united. There were some states like Denmark and Guatemala. We're ready to accept the declaration, the draft declaration that was passed by the subcommission, and then accept it and go on. They're willing to live with it without any changes. And because states were divided, we were able to hold them off for 8 years. But then around 2002, Guatemala and Finland and other states were saying that we can't do that anymore. Our other states in the region are saying that they will not pass the declaration unless there are some changes. And if they don't do that, they'll just destroy the working group. They'll shut it down, and there'll be no declaration. So there has to be something. So now that changed the dynamic. We know that the states were no longer split and divided. They were united and wanting to get changes. So some indigenous people now were agitating now, well, maybe we should soften our position a bit and contemplate some changes. And what happened in 1993 was CRP1, Conference for Paper 1, a proposal by the Nordic countries, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, and one other country, I think New Zealand joined them, and they made some proposed text changes on a series of articles. And those text changes, when they were put on the floor, and we were blindsided by that, we didn't know that was coming, was also supported by unofficially by some other indigenous people. And therefore, that's when the cracks started showing about then the indigenous people no longer, we no longer had a solid front of no changes. And then, so from 2003 to 2006, there was a lot of back and forth about changes to the text. And then a lot of, it was just a cascading thing happened where more and more text was changed in all the articles.